Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sarah, Malka Bat Allegra, Helen Friedman, Dorit Bat Sarah, and Shifra Bat Sarah, and to elevating the souls of Allegra Bat Rachel, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Mir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We have one subject we want to discuss on this week's program. Donald Trump is finally unveiling his so-called Middle East peace plan. There is no peace plan for the Middle East because the Arab Muslim Nazis who surround little Israel will never accept the existence of a Jewish state. Never. The Arab Muslims believe in the Islamic religion, which says all the world must be conquered by Allah and by the followers of Islam. All nations that are non-Muslim are Dar al-Kharb, are under the abode of the sword, according to the Quran and the Hadith. All nations that are under Islamic rule are Dar al-Islam, are under Islamic abode. And so the Muslims will never accept the legitimacy or existence of the United States or Europe or any country in the world that isn't Muslim. All nations must be under the control of Islam, and Islam must conquer the world. And Muslims really do follow and believe in that. And so if they won't accept the existence of the United States or Europe or any of these other countries, they're all infidel, non-Muslim countries that eventually have to be conquered and taken over. They certainly, the Muslim world will certainly never, never, never accept the existence of a tiny Jewish state in the middle of the Islamic world. Israel is smack in the middle of the Islamic world, and Hashem, God, deliberately created that situation, where Israel would be surrounded by the Muslim world and would be in the middle of the Muslim world, the middle of the Arab world, so that God, through the wars and the conflict that would come from that, could prove that He is the God of the universe and that it's the Bible and not the Quran. It's the Torah which is the truth, the Bible which is the truth, Judaism which is the truth, and not Islam. And God could only prove that by having tiny little Israel, outnumbered 100-1, winning miraculous, breathtaking wars and miraculous, breathtaking battles of biblical proportions, as Israel has done. Israel in 1967 quadrupled in size in only 6 days in the 1967 Six-Day War, when they were outnumbered 100-1, the whole Arab world united to destroy the tiny Jewish state. And today, little Israel, with 6 million Jews, is surrounded by an Arab world with over a half a billion people in the Arab world and in Iran. And in the Islamic world, there are 1.2 billion or 1.3 billion people. And they are all committed to destroying Israel and destroying the Jewish state. They will never accept the existence of a Jewish state in the middle of the Muslim world. Never. And so-called peace plans are designed only to get Israel to make concessions. They never ask the Arabs to give up land or to surrender anything. All the so-called peace plans are to vivisect Israel and weaken Israel and hurt Israel and get concessions out of Israel. Imagine tiny little Israel. The winner has to give concessions to the Arabs who lost the wars. Winners are supposed to be the ones that get the concessions, but only in the case of the Jews, because of the Jew-hating double standard or because of self-hating Jewish insanity. Only in the case of the Jews, the Jewish winners have to give land to the Arab Muslim losers. And only in the case of the Jews, tiny little Israel has to give land to the vast giant Arab world. The Arabs have 23 countries, and the Muslim world has 65 Muslim nations. The Arab world is more than 600 times the size of little Israel. The Arabs have more than 600 times as much land as the Jews. And the Jews have to give the little land that they have over to Arabs? This is so insane. And the most unjust, evil, possible situation that has ever existed in history. And the Jews, the insane Jews, go along with it. The majority of Jews, they go along with all of this because they're insane. They're suicidal and they're insane. And despite the fact that the Jews are insane, and despite the fact that the Jews are suicidal, and despite the fact that the Jews want to surrender, they still win six-day wars, outnumbered 100-1, when, in the most incredible way, when the Arabs have all the oil, and the Arabs have all the petrodollars, and the Arabs have all the advantages, and little Israel wins six-day wars, when they don't even want to win? What a miracle. They win only because Hashem, because God, enables them to win and forces them to win. They don't even want to win. And Hashem pushes them and forces them to win and survive. And why does Hashem do it? Not because the Jews of this generation are worthy. They're not. The Jews are unworthy. But because of other generations where Jews gave their lives al kiddush Hashem, to sanctify God's name. Where Jews killed their own children rather than have them forcibly converted to Christianity. Their own children, they and their children, committed mass suicide rather than being forcibly converted to Christianity, because Christianity in the Jewish belief is idolatrous. And Jews are supposed to be willing to give their lives before worshiping idols. And a religion that says that God became a man and Trinity and all the other things, there are three gods and Trinity and God became a man, this is idolatrous. According to Jewish belief, Jews are not permitted to believe, even upon pain of death, are not permitted to accept that religion. And so we had generations of Jews, with thousands of Jews were burned at the stake in the Spanish Inquisition, were burned at the stake, burned alive, because they refused to give up their Judaism. Where Jews were tortured relentlessly, they and their families and their children were slaughtered. Mercilessly slaughtered in the most brutal way imagined by Christian crusaders and by Islamic invaders, who also slaughtered them and also had pogroms against the Jews and blood libels against the Jews. And they would not surrender. Because of those Jews in prior generations, those Jewish heroes, those noble, magnificent Jews, because of them, Hashem, God, makes sure that the Jewish people survive. Because he's going to keep his promise, and there's going to be a future generation of Jews that will wake up and that will do what's right. That will yet happen, and there will be a final redemption. So there is no peace plan. The only peace plan would be to throw the Arabs out of Israel, to kick them out because they want to destroy Israel, and to liberate as much Jewish land as can be liberated. That would be a peace plan. And recognize there are no Palestinians and there is no Palestine. There's never been a Palestine or a Palestinian people in history. Before the 1967 Six-Day War, nobody spoke about Palestine or Palestinians before the 1960s. Nobody. The Arabs themselves always denied that there's a Palestinian people, or that there's something called Palestine. But Donald Trump, who knows nothing about the Middle East, who's a complete ignoramus and a buffoon, definitely the most ignorant president in modern American history, that there's no doubt about. He just wants a deal, just to show what a great deal maker he is. And the sick Jews who worship Donald Trump, and who love him because he moved the American embassy to Jerusalem, big deal. What does that do for Israel, that he moved the American embassy to Jerusalem? It does nothing for Israel. Nothing. In his plan now, he wants to give up sections of Jerusalem and make part of Jerusalem part of the Arab terrorist state that he wants to create. So moving the embassy to Jerusalem did not protect Jerusalem, did not safeguard Jerusalem in any way, because he moved the embassy and he is the one who's now proposing surrendering part of Jerusalem to an Arab terrorist state, dividing Jerusalem and having Jerusalem be part of an Arab terrorist state, an independent state of Palestine. That's his so-called peace plan now. His so-called peace plan would have Israel create an independent Palestine state, which is national suicide for Israel. Even the left in Israel always said, historically, that creating a so-called Palestine state would be suicide. Donald Trump wants Israel to surrender at least 70% of Judea and Samaria, which is the biblical heartland of Israel, to create this Palestine state. He wants to divide Jerusalem and hand over majority Arab neighborhoods in Jerusalem to the Arab terrorist state that he wants to create. He wants to get Israel also to surrender portions of the Negev Desert, which are in pre-1967 Israel, in order to compensate the Arabs for the fact that 30% of Judea and Samaria, or 20% or 30%, who knows, it's going to be whittled down, of course, if there are negotiations, God forbid, for this plan. The Jewish amount would be whittled down more and more, of course. But because the Jews will get something in Judea and Samaria, this tiny little piece, because of that, he wants to compensate the Arabs, quote-unquote, by giving them portions of the Negev Desert in pre-1967 Israel. This is complete madness. And he wants Israel to expel 8,000 Jews who live in settlements that the Israeli left-wing Israeli government doesn't recognize. He wants at least 8,000 Jews thrown out of their homes also in Judea and Samaria. And at least 10 of the recognized settlements, in addition to that, 10 of the recognized settlements will be completely surrounded by the Arab terrorist state. In other words, they'll have a little island of a Jewish settlement completely surrounded by an Arab terrorist state with no possibility of surviving. There's no way they could survive in that situation. And he wants, and this is something really, really bad, because this is already in effect, he wants no new building in Jewish settlements. Jews cannot build new settlements. And Jews, and the building freeze that traitor Bibi Netanyahu, Shem Reshaim Yerkav, may the name of the wicked rot, the building freeze of the Netanyahu government, which has been in effect for a whole decade already, will remain in effect permanently. Permanently. They want, God forbid, forever to prevent Jews from building in Judea and Samaria and to prevent Jews from building in Jerusalem. Bibi has prevented all new building in Jerusalem, and one of the reasons he has, he doesn't want the building himself because he's a traitor and he doesn't want this land to remain in Jewish hands. But one of the reasons why he's prevented this building in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria for a decade, we could have easily doubled or tripled the Jewish population in Judea, Samaria, and in Jerusalem, and then there'd be no talk of a Palestinian state. But Bibi and the Likud have prevented this. Bibi and the Likud government have done what no left-wing government in Israel ever did. The left-wing governments in Israel never had a complete building free, certainly not in Jerusalem. And so he wants a complete freeze. Trump wants to make it permanent, the freeze on Jewish building in Judea and Samaria and in Jerusalem. And wants to create a situation where the Jews will never be able to expand their presence there. This is just, the whole thing is complete insanity. And his evil son-in-law, that traitor who married outside the Jewish faith, Ivanka is not Jewish. Her conversion was a farce and a fraud. His traitor son-in-law, who said that he was getting advice from Henry Kissinger, the ultimate traitor, on what to do about Israel. He and Jason Greenblatt, another self-hating Jew, another Judenrat capo, they devised this plan after endless consultations with endless self-hating capos in Israel, like Netanyahu, and they came up with this insanity. Now, of course, the self-hating Jews who call themselves conservative and who call themselves right-wing are going to come up with a million excuses to justify everything Trump does. We said that we were supporting Trump for re-election because he was better than the Democrats. We are now ending that. Okay? We're going to see what happens in the next few days with this plan. We're going to see what happens. But right now, we are suspending our support for Trump's re-election because of this plan that he's coming up with. And if he continues and he really aggressively pushes this plan, and he pushes to harm Israel with this plan, we're going to actively work to defeat him for re-election. And let me say something about Trump compared to the Democrats. And the Democrats are all anti-Semites and anti-Israel, but because of Trump's immense popularity in Israel, Trump is so popular in Israel, these sick Jews are so thrilled because he moved the embassy to Jerusalem, because he claims to recognize Israeli sovereignty on the Golan Heights. Completely worthless declarations, all talk, worthless. Meanwhile, he doesn't allow building in Jewish communities. The important things, the facts on the ground, like building, he wants that frozen, but he makes declarations which are worthless. And if Israel declares sovereignty over Jewish settlements, that's worthless. Worthless. If Israel declares if there's sovereignty, how come Israel can't build? How come Israel's not allowed to build if it's part of sovereign Jewish land? What, the Jews are not allowed to build in their own sovereign land? It's all a lie, it's all a bluff. But because of Trump's immense popularity, he is able to convince the Jews of Israel to accept these insane suicidal plans more effectively than the Democrats. So he may wind up being more dangerous in the end than a Democrat president would be. Because Barack Hussein Obama was hated justifiably, because he's a Muslim anti-Semite, Barack Hussein Obama. But Barack Hussein Obama was hated by Israel, and no one in Israel trusted him. And so when Obama was pushing his so-called peace plans, it was very unpopular in Israel, and there was a lot of resistance, which is good. Whereas when Trump does it, the Jews of Israel accept it, because if Trump does it, it must be good. Trump is so wonderful. This is very dangerous for Israel's future. And yes, there may be a point where American Jews are going to have to choose. Are they loyal to Israel and the Jewish people? Or are they loyal to the Republican Party and Donald Trump or to other nonsensical thing? We are not loyal to the Republicans or the Democrats or to Trump or to any other leader in America. We're loyal to Hashem, to the God of Israel, and to Torah, and to the land of Israel, the people of Israel. We're loyal to them. That is where our loyalty is. And that's what God commands us to be loyal to. Now more than ever, JTF is necessary, because JTF brings the truth to the Jews of Israel about these issues. JTF is the only group that has said that this is happening. Even the other so-called Kahanists, like Itamar Ben-Gvir, and unfortunately, tragically, even Moshe Feiglin. He originally was telling the truth about Netanyahu when we were supporting him, and then he did an about-face, and even he betrayed us. And so no one is telling the truth about these issues. They've all been backing Netanyahu. They said, we must have a right-wing prime minister and a right-wing government. Netanyahu's a right-winger. We are the only ones who have said that Netanyahu's government is more dangerous than a left-wing government in Israel, because a left-wing government in Israel cannot succeed in pushing suicidal plans as effectively as a phony right government. It's like Richard Nixon in the United States when he recognized communist China. Unfortunately, most of the people in this audience are going to be too young to remember this and maybe won't even understand what I'm saying. For years, the United States refused to recognize diplomatically communist China and refused to have detente with the Soviet Union. Lyndon Johnson wanted to have it. He had the Glasgow talks, and he had other talks and Glassboro talks in Glassboro, New Jersey. He had talks in 1967 with Kosygin, with Alexei Kosygin. Johnson, when he was a left-wing Democrat president, he wanted to pursue detente with the Soviets, and he wanted to pursue what Nixon eventually pursued. But he knew that if he did it, he would be accused of being soft on communism, and he'd never get away with it. It took a so-called conservative, Republican, anti-communist president like Richard Nixon, it took him to be able to go and open up the door to trade with, to open the door to communist China and have diplomatic relations and trade relations with communist China, which hurts America's economy, by the way. That's one thing Trump did recognize. Nixon started that. Nixon, the so-called conservative Republican president, started that because a Democrat could never have gotten away with doing that. It took the so-called anti-communist president, who then betrayed his anti-communism, to then open up to the communists, because when he did it, nobody could accuse him of being soft on communism. Nixon, who was part of Joe McCarthy's Red Scare in the 1970s, no, what are you talking about? So Nixon was able to do things that a Democrat could never get away with. And the same thing is true with Trump. I'll give you an illustration now, a current illustration of how Trump can get away with things that a Democrat can't get away with. Trump is outspending Obama and all the Democrats. Trump said that Obama was going to spend the United States into bankruptcy. He always mentioned the national debt. He always mentioned that the U.S. was headed toward bankruptcy. And he was right. U.S. is headed toward bankruptcy, and the United States is spending like crazy, and it's very dangerous for the long-term American economy. He's right about that. But, having said that, Donald Trump has drastically increased the amount of spending, way beyond what Obama was doing. He is increasing the national debt far faster than Obama. Now, he said that it was going to bring us to national bankruptcy, but he's doing it at a faster rate than Obama. But he gets away with it. He gets away with it. Because the Tea Party why was the Tea Party formed? The so-called right-wing group, why was the Tea Party formed? The Tea Party was formed to fight against Obama's deficits and Obama's big spending. And so you would think they'd go crazy when Trump outspends Obama, sometimes 50%, 60% more than Obama. When he drastically outspends Obama and increases the national debt much faster than Obama, you would think that the Tea Party people would be the first ones to say, what the hell is going on over here? No, the Tea Party people are completely, blindly support Trump, who on spending and on deficits and on debt is worse than Obama. And by the way, if you're wondering how bad the debt situation is in the United States, I'm not going to throw out the statistics and the $20 billion debt, national debt. I'm not going to throw out statistics because most people have no understanding of those statistics. I'm just going to mention one little fact that maybe will bring this home, how serious the debt situation is in America, because everybody speaks about how wonderful the economy is. According to studies that have been made, some of them are government statistics studies by the Trump administration, some of them are other studies by business associations and organizations. 40% of Americans could not deal with a $1,000 expense came up all of a sudden. Let's say they needed $1,000 for something urgent. An emergency, if it was $1,000 emergency situation. If they needed to have $1,000, a health emergency, any other emergency, for some reason they needed $1,000. 40% of American households would face a complete crisis. They would be unable to come up with the money. They wouldn't be able to raise the $1,000. They would not be able to get a loan. They're in debt up to their nose. They would not be able to get a loan. They wouldn't be able to do anything. They'd be paralyzed and face a crisis and face the prospect of bankruptcy. 40% of Americans are in that situation. You realize what vulnerability that is? And by the way, the other 60%, a lot of them may not be $1,000, but it's, they're also deep in debt. Many of them are. The majority of Americans are in debt. The majority of Americans right now are in debt. And when I say debt, I mean that they have mortgages and they have credit card debt and they have other debts. They have debts. And so we have a situation here where we're a very serious debt situation. And corporate debt is enormous. Pension debt is enormous. Debt of state governments, tremendous state government debts. And Trump, instead of solving the problem, which he promised he was going to do, he promised he was going to solve this problem. He is increasing spending at a faster rate than Obama was. So that's the reality, and nobody criticizes him on this. Nobody. He can get away with it. Obama couldn't. And it's the same situation with Netanyahu in Israel. Netanyahu can get away with proposing suicidal things like a so-called Palestinian state, whereas his opponents, Gantz and the people running against him, his opponents couldn't get away with it because they have a left-wing reputation, and that means Israelis get nervous if someone who is on the left or who isn't from the Likud, if someone proposes some concession or something, they get very nervous. They're, oh no, that's dangerous. We can't do that. But if someone in the Likud proposes it, it's okay. It's kosher, which is why over 90% of the retreats from the land of Israel since the 1967 Six-Day War, over 90% of the surrender of Jewish land has taken place under the so-called right-wing Likud governments, not under the left. The left tried with Oslo and failed. The left tried under Ehud Barak and Ehud Olmert and failed. They couldn't do it. They were unable to do it. But the phony right governments, they were able to get massive retreats from the land of Israel, surrender of the entire Sinai under Menachem Begin, the expulsion from Gush Katif under Ariel Sharon, the surrender of 13% of Judea and Samaria at the Y agreement under Benjamin Netanyahu, the surrender of 97% of Hebron, the city of our forefathers, under Benjamin Netanyahu. And I could go on and on. The big concessions, the really horrible, brutal concessions that have been made since 1967, the vast majority of them were made by the Likud, by the phony right, not by the open left. And so that's the situation we're faced with. Now, just in case you're losing hope hearing all of this, the only hope we do have is that Hashem will protect Israel. We can't depend, we're not allowed to depend on miracles. But Hashem has protected Israel so far, because if it was left up to the Jews would have accepted a suicide plan a long time ago. They would have trusted all the people that want to cut their throats and would have accepted a long time ago. These are the same Jews that the Germans said you're going to take a shower when they were going to the gas chambers, even though they had been warned and told, and no, they were sure they were going to take a shower. I mean, these Jews are brain dead in our generation. Brain dead, including the so-called right-wing Jews. A people so brilliant in science and math and art and literature, far more brilliant than any other people on the face of the earth. Really, God's chosen people, with talent that is just absolutely beyond words. A people so brilliant in every area, in every walk of life, so incredibly stupid when it comes to their own survival. And yet they survive. All their enemies disappear and they survive. And people don't believe in God and don't understand the hand of God in all of history. It's really incredible how blind people are. The Arabs, God willing, will reject this plan. And Arab rejection is the one hope we have for preventing this from taking place. But in the meantime, Netanyahu, with Trump's pressure as his excuse, is freezing Jewish building in Judea, Samaria, and Jerusalem, and terrible things are being done in the meantime unilaterally by Israel. So this is very dangerous, even though acceptance of the overall suicidal plan, the one hope we have is that the Arabs will reject it. God forbid that the Arabs get smart and get a leader like Anwar el-Sadat, Yimach Shmo V'Zichro, Shem R'Shem Yirkav. Sadat was the most dangerous enemy Israel ever had. He was a leader who accepted these plans. He went along with it and he got all of Sinai. He got Israel to surrender the entire vast Sinai with all of its oil fields, with all of its strategic air bases. The Sinai, three times the size of the rest of the state of Israel. This vast surrender, this vast retreat, insane, completely insane, done by Menachem Begin from the Likud, the so-called right-wing prime minister who promised, Av Shaal, he promised not one inch when he was running and broke all of his promises and got away with it because he's a right-winger. If he's a right-winger, it's okay. Don't worry, he's a right-winger. We have a situation here where our hope lies in the fact that God miraculously has given us enemies who are actually even stupider than the Jews when it comes to making decisions, important decisions. If the Arabs would just accept some of these plans, the Obama plan, the Trump plan, if they would just accept this, Israel's very survival would be in grave jeopardy. But because we have God gives us leaders, Arab enemies, Arab enemy leaders, who are even stupider than the Jews and reject the plan. No! Refuse to accept the plan. And because of that, by the way, that is an incredible miracle in and of itself. To actually have leaders who are dumber than Jews when it comes to issues of survival, to have people dumber than Jews, that is a miracle. That is a miracle, to find the people dumber than the Jews when it comes to survival. We're telling the truth to the people of Israel. We tell the truth when it's popular. We tell the truth when it's unpopular. We're the one group that never wavers and never compromises with the land of Israel, Torah, with the Torah, and with the people of Israel. So you're in the right place if you want to protect Israel from this type of insanity and you want to wake the Jews up. Because the day will come. Hashem and the Hebrew prophets promise us the day will come when the Jews will wake up. May not be in our lifetime, but that day is going to come. The Jews will wake up, and God is going to give them a new heart. And that's what it says, a new heart. Instead of a heart of stone, they're going to have a heart of flesh and blood. And they're going to understand God's message, and they're going to understand the truth, and they're finally going to do what a chosen people and a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests is destined to do. Because the Jews do have a higher calling. Every Gentile also has a higher calling. Every human being has a higher calling than what they think is their purpose in life. We all have a higher calling. But the Jews as a nation, as a people, have an especially high calling to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation, a nation of priests. That's what JTF calls upon the Jews to do with its uncompromising and truthful messages. And that's what the Jews someday will do. But in the interim, even in a dark generation like ours, we have an obligation to bring the truth to the Jews and to do everything we can to wake them up as fast as we can. Because there is always a danger, a great danger that the Jews face, and we have to be there to alert them and to try to wake them up to the danger in order to protect the Jewish people, because they are God's people and they are the key to eternal redemption for all generations. If we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.